Welcome back in, ladies and germs, to another episode of the Crossing Routes Podcast, brought to you by FTN. Be sure to check out everything that we have, by the way, on the website at ftnfantasy.com. Just want to plug that up top real quick. My name is Herms. I am here with my co-host, Tyler O, and we are going to talk about some of the sophomore quarterbacks. Yes, these guys that were rookies last year, looking ahead, trying to figure out how we feel about them from a dynasty perspective. Maybe we'll talk just a little bit season-long redraft type stuff, but yeah, that's kind of the vibe. Tyler, how you doing?
Doing great, man. Always good. Starting to get in the flow here with you. We are, I believe, in our third podcast for Crossing Routes, and it's feeling good. Back on the mic, getting in the groove of things, starting to put out the content. It's redraft season over here a bit at FTN, which is great. We've been doing a lot of Dynasty content. Love Dynasty. Don't get me wrong. A lot of rookie content. Love rookie content. But it is nice, Herms, to and I think you and I are the same way, where, you know, we play all kinds of fantasy football, but in our hearts, in our souls, we are redraft guys.
Oh, dude. Yeah, it is the beautiful game. It is the original game. I geek out super hard for Dynasty, just as a lot of other people do. I find I don't really play in any Devy leagues, but I like doing, you know, college prospect stuff. I think it's interesting. But yeah, no, there's something about just getting together with like the 11 homies. I've been in the same redraft league every year since 2016. It's the same dudes. I love it. Like, that's never, you're never going to put a better league together than that one. So like, yeah, dude, it's redraft season over here for all of us.
It's nice, my man. We are here. We are back on the mic, ready to talk sophomore quarterbacks.
Yes, we are. And let's start with a pretty exciting one from around my neck of the woods in the Washington, D.C. area. Mr. Jaden Daniels of the Washington Commanders. Absolutely stellar player, guided this team all the way to the NFC title game. Unfortunately, that didn't work out super well, but, you know, as somebody who's, you know, been in this part of the country for my entire life, he's the most exciting quarterback I've seen in my lifetime that has played for this team. The close second would be that little blip of RG3 that we got way back when I was in high school. But yeah, Jaden Daniels, talk to me a little bit about how you're feeling about him, because he's pretty great.
Yeah, really lit the world on fire last year. He was one of those guys where, you know, as we got closer to our rookie drafts, people started to be in on him. He was a little undervalued, I think, in our redraft leagues, of course. But as the year kind of progressed, it became quite clear that he was, in fact, you know, that dude all the way across the board. Finished the season as the RB5, which is, I mean, RB5, the running back, sorry, QB5. Huge. Mm-hmm. Love that. And I think right now, he, in my opinion, in dynasty leagues, let's say, he's one of those rare times when I'm comfortable, Herms, kind of buying high on this player. Yes. Right? The ECR, I think, is right. They have him at quarterback 3. And if you're playing in industry leagues, he might be a little bit harder of a buy high. I think everyone's very aware. But, you know, if you're listening to this podcast and you have some dynasty leagues with the homies and they're not as plugged into Twitter, they're not as kind of plugged into what everyone's doing right now. I mean, most dynasty leagues take a little small break around this time. They might be ready to ramp back up. In the end of the day, I do believe that Jaden Daniels is one of those guys that you should be going out and trying to buy high on. And how high is buying high? For example, there's some guys that I am very comfortable moving straight up. For Jaden Daniels, Joe Burrow, right. Patrick Mahomes, and probably one that's a little more contentious would be Jalen Hurts. I love Jalen Hurts. We can talk about that later, but I think the only two quarterbacks that I want more than Josh Allen is Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. And I think he's in the same tier with them. If you were to put Jaden Daniels as the 101 in your Superflex dynasty drafts, I wouldn't necessarily turn my nose up at that. I think he is easily one of the top talents left. I think he's basically going to be a Lamar Jackson kind of reincarnated from a fantasy football lens. For me, he's just one of those guys where the rushing ceiling is so real. I think he's finished second in rushing for quarterbacks last season behind Lamar Jackson. But, you know, if we remember correctly, you know, he was hurt a little bit. He busted up with that rib injury. He didn't totally miss a game. You know, it was that Carolina game in week 7. But he only played 14% with that rib injury, I think. And then he had a 45% snap share in week 18. I don't know if we count week 18, but he essentially missed one game. I think if he played a full season, he could have taken that title. And 1,000 rushing yards on the ground is well within the range of outcomes right now for him. And when we're talking about a quarterback who can also throw on an offense that's, you know, I'm not ready to call the Commanders a elite offense, but they're certainly pretty dang good. So for me, it's just kind of looking at what he can do on the ground. You know, I don't have him projected 1,000 yards, but easily over 900. He's a guy that I, A, would be going out there trying to be like, all right, let's take some, like, big name recognition. Let's go, like, Patrick Mahomes. Maybe you put a second on top of Patrick Mahomes and go try to get Jaden Daniels. He needs to be talked about in the elite top tier, probably in the top three. You know, his one of the things I was a little concerned about, you know, he's played a long college season, but his accuracy held up. Deep ball looks clean. He plays with confidence, doesn't crumble under pressure. I think around chaos, he looked pretty dang good. He was poised, and there's room to grow. He continued to get better. So I think just with his age and what we saw as a rookie, man, it's tough for me to make any case to not be totally in on Jaden Daniels and go out there and try to buy high on him. He's the future of the league and the future of fantasy football, and we need to treat him like that.
Dude, I think you're 100% correct on this. I am super stoked on him pretty much at that same level. So I don't really have a lot to add, but I do have something to throw at you before we get into our next quarterback on this list. So I made a trade in a dynasty league to acquire Jaden Daniels. I don't think I told, we're in a group chat together. I don't think I told anybody about that in there. I don't think I've actually talked to anybody about this yet. So, listeners, if you want to just, you know, at me on Blue Sky, just at Herms, you know, and tell me that this is a horrible trade, then let me know. But I want your opinion, Tyler. I got Jaden Daniels, and all I had to give up was Brian Thomas Jr. and a 2026 first round pick. Just a single first. BTJ and a first, and I got Jaden Daniels.
Smash. What do we think? Absolutely smash, Herms. What a huge W. I mean, you are not getting, I mean, BTJ, he's in that, kind of in that second tier of wide receivers, certainly great. But to get him at that price, man, you just got a cornerstone for your fantasy football team for 10 years. I mean, hope you play that long. But, I mean, he is one of the most valuable assets in fantasy football, and you gave a top 10 wide receiver in the future first. Great job, man.
Okay, so good news. That worked out for me. That worked out for Jaden Daniels, and that works out for us on our first quarterback. But the next guy we have to talk about is somebody that I really like a lot, and I have some pretty fun stats about that I'll bring up. But I first want to hear from you about Drake May from the New England Patriots. You know, they've added some weapons to that offense, brought in Stephon Diggs. We'll see what he's like coming back from that torn ACL, but it's Mike Vrabel. It's, you know, trying to bring back, you know, the old winning ways. Because, you know, let's be real. Like, the end of the Belichick era and the 1 year that we got out of Gerard Mayo, little underwhelming. So, like, I'm not going to go super hard trying to glean information from everything we saw last season. But I don't know. That's really the only precursor that I want to put out. But, you know, whatever you have to say about May, go for it.
May's rookie season, I think, requires a little context for folks. Mm-hmm. And while Jaden Daniels might not be an easy buy, I think Drake May might be a little bit easier. Like, his stat line won't wow you, but if you watch the games, you know, especially the ones where he actually played, like, there's a handful of games where he didn't start the season as, like, a full-time starter. I think if you look at the games where he played 80% of the snaps, he was the QB 16. That's a legit outcome given how broken the offense was, right? Again, context is the key part here. Bad offensive line. Probably the worst wide receiver group in all of football last year. And yet May held his own, showed legit toughness, stood tall under pressure, made enough NFL-level throws to prove that he belongs. And now we're in 2025. Patriots invested in their offensive line. That was very apparent on draft night. Better pass protection is going to be great for him. I would say, is it real NFL wide receivers? I don't know if I'm ready to go there, but, you know, Diggs is probably going to be all right. You know, I do like Kyle Williams as a prize. I'm not as high on him as other folks, but I feel he works his way in. There's a couple other guys that can contribute there. Hunter in the Hen House, good tight end, does well, wins in man. And then they had a Trevion Henderson. What's that?
Pop Douglas. He's also Pop pretty Douglas. Good. I don't know.
Pop Douglas. Absolutely. There's guys out there that can make it happen. And I think it's good enough. So while it's still rough around the edges, I believe the Patriots offense to be ascending. And I want to be in on it before it kind of breaks that way. Am I hoping for more of an average offense? Absolutely. But I think Drake May being a rusher, contributing with his legs and being a good pass catcher, I mean, a pass thrower, a throw of the football, it's going to be good. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a good situation here. You pair all these tools together and things are going to look really good for Drake May. And people who are going to buy Drake May at this point in the season or in the next month, I think are going to look really smart in 4 or 5 months when the season starts. So he's an easy buy for me. I'd take him over Jared Goff. which I think is a bit of a sell right now. I would take him over Brock Purdy, who just got a massive contract. I'd take him over Jordan Love, who still has some stands out there. So he's just one of those guys. And even in like redraft leagues, if I miss out on that top tier, Drake May is one of the names I got circled. I got highlighted to kind of, you know, punt the quarterback position as a late guy that I want. He's a top 12 guy, in my opinion. I have him ranked that way right now in Dynasty. I have him ranked that way in redraft. And I think that the market is a little behind on what Drake May can contribute as a fantasy asset in 2025.
I agree with you, and I didn't mean to cut you off. You were also adding that they added Ohio State running back Travion Henderson. That's a pretty big element to the offense. Really wanted to make sure that that was mentioned, and because it serves as a great segue into my fun fact about Drake May. So speaking of rushing and running, Drake May, pretty low-key good at that. So one of the stats that I like to reference when I talk about Drake May is the fact that over his two full seasons as a starter at North Carolina in college, obviously, he averaged 43.7 rushing yards per game. That was a pretty decent component to his prospect profile that I liked. And in those 11 full games he played, because like he referenced, there was like that week 3 relief appearance and then like the 3 snap cup of coffee in week 18. So just the 11 that he actually played, 37.2 rushing yards per game. So it's not like a ton. I'm not saying he's a Konami code guy, but there's like, when I look at quarterbacks, I think of guys who can like run and guys who I call, you know, the ones that can quote unquote scoot. I think he's somewhere.
The scooters.
Yeah. Like, sometimes you just need a good scooter. You don't necessarily need somebody to be like a Jaden Daniels, like we talked about before. It's not, we're talking about two different, you know, calibers of, you know, rushing acumen. But like, I think Drake May can low key add that to his dimension. So like, if everything works out better with this passing attack, you are still going to get that little added rushing bonus. So like, don't forget that. Don't forget that, folks.
Yeah, the floor is there. And it's funny that everything you just said, all those like stats you said about him rushing in college, not to get us off track, you can apply the same thing to Jackson Dart. I know you've probably, might be tired of me talking about Jackson Dart, but I want to throw that little bit out there because Jackson Dart is also what we consider a scooter. So don't want to derail us too much, folks, but I'm with you. There's a rushing floor there with Drake May, and that is going to, I think, prop him up. And if, you know, this Patriots offense is just average, it's that rushing floor that's going to make him a above average to really good fantasy asset.
Dude, I'm all aboard the Drake May train. He's going to be so much fun. And there's another guy, another sophomore quarterback, who I think is going to be pretty fun. Also a little bit of a scooter himself, but we will talk about him on the other side of this break. Don't go anywhere. And we are back, baby. This is the Crossing Routes podcast. It's your boy Herms talking to Tyler O. The 2024 Fantasy Pros Expert Consensus Rankings number one ranker, by the way. This isn't just some like guy that I'm talking to. This is one of the best, folks. That is important for me to mention. I just want to say that. And I want to transition into, look at that segue. Talking about Denver Broncos quarterback Bo Nix. He was a lot of fun last year. I am going to be honest. I thought the Broncos were going to stink. And they didn't really have a running game. Like, I will, that part of it was true. There are some holes they have to fix on that offense. They address that in the draft, but that's a different conversation. Bo Nix led a pretty potent passing attack, and it was something that jumped out pretty well. And he basically had a breakout from about week 8 on through the end of the season. So in that span, just going to throw this out, he averaged 23.2 fantasy points per game. Now that's including the week 18 blowout against the Chiefs that weren't trying. So if you want to subtract that, fine, whatever. I did that. 22 fantasy points per game. Pretty lit. Just saying. This is a guy that I happen to like a lot, have him on a couple of rosters. How are you approaching Bo Nix headed into the future?
This is a talented quarterback class. More talented than I thought. And I'm with you. I will eat the L on Bo Nix all season long. I didn't buy the Oregon breakout, didn't trust the arm talent, but I was flat out wrong. I was flat out wrong on Bo Nix, yep. but that's what we do in fantasy football. The good ones, at least. We accept the losses and we learn from them. And then we correct. We don't hold on to that and be like, well, now he's, you know, Bo Nix sucks first year. Well, I don't know. He's not going to do it again. Nah, folks, I saw enough. Things are good here. He finishes a QB 9 as a rookie and he earned it. You know, I don't think he's the most flashy but he gets the ball out fast, makes the right reads. It's, you know, he's made for this offense that Sean Payton is running. It fits it like a glove. A rhythm thrower, keeps offense on schedule, doesn't force the issue. And the end of the day, I don't think he has an elite ceiling like a Jaden Daniels ceiling, right? I don't think he's going to be a top five quarterback, even though, again, he is a bit of a scooter. Things are just going to be better. Like, he finishes QB9, and now you add Evan Engram to the equation. Mm-hmm. You add RJ Harvey, which, you know, I'm not necessarily like the biggest RJ Harvey fan, but like, we can at least admit that that running back room is better, right?
That helps.
Yeah. And it's the second year in the system. I think it's only going to go up from here, and we need to treat it like that. So he currently sits, you know, I believe as my RB12 in Dynasty right now. Again, above guys like Jordan Love, Brock Purdy, Jared Goff, Trevor Lawrence. He's the guy that I would absolutely be targeting. He's the guy I've actually been getting. I had one of my Dynasty startups this year. I was able to grab him in the fourth round of a Superflex Dynasty startup. Felt really good about, you know, trotting him out as my QB1. And he's might not be a bit of a buy, because I think, like, at that price, everyone's kind of, like, in agreement there, right? I mean, if somebody is undervaluing Bo Nix, certainly, I totally get it. But I just really wanted to, A, kind of highlight how impressive this quarterback class is, especially because I didn't think it was going to be that impressive. And B, just talk about, like, hey, I just talked about three rookie 2024 quarterbacks, all of which are in my top 12 in my dynasty rankings and top 12 in my redraft rankings. And he's just a guy that I think he's a very sneaky, stable piece for any super flex roster. He can be your QB1. He's probably an ideal QB2 in super flex. And just want to put a little respect on his name, Mr. Bo Nix.
He deserves it, man. And listeners, I swear I'm not only obsessed with how often quarterbacks run the ball, but I did want to highlight Bo Nix had 7 games with at least 30 rushing yards last season, 4 of which went over 40 yards. So, like, this is a guy adding a little bit of that baseline, you know, kind of, you know, scoring floor, if you want to put it that way. I think it's pretty cool. The only thing I want to note, though, is that their passing game coordinator, who got a lot of credit for, you know, kind of, you know, creating this, you know, system the Bo Nix really thrived in, left to become your Detroit Lions offensive coordinator, replacing Ben Johnson. So just want people to, like, know that it's not a huge thing. Like, yeah, Sean Payton, it's his team. It's basically his offense, but, like, just something to be mindful of. Fun facts are what Herms brings to the table. And if you're not okay with that, then this probably isn't the podcast for you. But if that wraps up Bo Nix, we will move on to our final subject. Somebody that I think I don't want to say we disagree on, but I think I'm a little bit more likely to be, you know, higher on this player. And that's JJ McCarthy. Now, we didn't see him start really any games for the Vikings last year because he got hurt and he had to have surgery on his knee. That's how we got the, you know, magnificent Sam Darnold run, the 14 games that they won and everything, blah, blah, blah. Wonderful. He's in Seattle now. It's JJ McCarthy's show. But you know more about JJ McCarthy than I do, definitively. I think we could definitely say that because he's, you know, that's your territory with the Michigan Wolverines and whatnot. So why don't you tell me your thoughts on JJ McCarthy? Because I think, like I said, we are a little far apart, not too far, but a little bit.
Yep. So for me, you know, I've always been on the skeptical side with McCarthy from the start, as someone who's watched his college career very closely. You know, Michigan, he didn't really win with his arm, frankly. And there was multiple games when his arm did not do that team much justice. Yeah, they killed it, won a national championship. But there were times when I was like, well, we're winning because the defense and the run game. This is clear. He's not asked to do too much. He managed games. He's a game manager. He was a game manager in college. The team leaned on the elite run game again, the defense. And, you know, kind of just that was what won. And it worked. It's great. And he was good enough. Now he lands, you know, here's the thing. He lands in a great situation. I don't need to bring up all the stats, but quarterbacks play well in the Vikings offense. It is probably one of the most quarterback-friendly offenses in the NFL. So it's going to really set him up for success. I totally get that. You know, the way that Kevin O'Connell schemes open throws, the weapons top-notch, system is great. But the problem is, I think that this context is kind of already baked into the price a bit. Yeah. I will say this. So I have him at QB 19 right now. ECR's got him at 18, so in some ways, you know, I'm in line with the price. But I do think there are some dynasty managers out there who are treating him like he's already locked in as a top 15 dynasty quarterback. And that's not where I'm necessarily willing to go. I feel like every time I log on to Twitter or find, you know, I'm around reading about football, it's just talking about how great this guy is. Herms, and I'm kidding you, I looked at something today, obviously hyperbole, but they're like comparing him to like the next Josh Allen. And I'm just like,
I see this
yeah. all the time. And not the Josh Allen thing, but just like how people are talking about him. And I just don't see it. I'm not sold that he's a high-end passer. I don't think he's going to add much in the rushing game. I don't think the fantasy upside is necessarily that special. You know, for some reason, the volume dips or the efficiency doesn't hold. You know, he's more of a middling option, a mid-round QB2, which he's valued at. But what I'm saying is I think there's just a lot of people out there right now who are putting a lot of value on his name. And, you know, if you had him, could be worth trading for, you know, a first plus. If I could get a first plus for J.J. McCarthy, you know, I would probably do it. I don't roster him, obviously, because I've been a little bit concerned. But at the same time, one of my little hotter takes here that I wanted to say is I'm pretty high on a guy named Trevor Lawrence this year. And Trevor Lawrence is a guy that I would want straight up over J.J. McCarthy in your redraft or dynasty format. Same goes for Brock Purdy. These are both guys that I think are going to be better fantasy quarterbacks than J.J. McCarthy going into the 2025 season.
I think I'm with that. I really do. My thing about McCarthy is that I didn't get a lot of shares in the rookie drafts. So right. I'm kind of just paying whatever it costs in startups so that I have McCarthy, because I think he's a fun prospect. You know, I agree he's a little bit more in the game manager realm of things, but like Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson, TJ Hockenson, it's a good smorgasbord of options that he has available to him. But I understand your skepticism. I really do. And that's, I'm not going to push back. That's really it. I wish we really could have gotten to talk a little bit more about some of these other guys. Like, you know, there's Caleb Williams, there's Michael Penix Jr. down in Atlanta. But if you want to check out Tyler's full thoughts on all of these sophomore quarterbacks, you can go over to ftnfantasy.com and check out this article. He is coming out with some thoughts on the second year players at all these positions: quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight ends eventually. I will leave the link to that in the episode description for everybody, so you don't have to go far. There's no excuse for you to not read it. For Mr. Tyler himself, my name is Herms, and we will catch you again, actually, this coming Thursday. We are two episodes a week, folks. That is it. The Crossing Routes Podcast. Back at it again later on. See ya. Think about